Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Parr. This morning, my guest is Dr. Bob Peoples, the Executive Director with CARE, which stands for Carpet America Recovery Effort. Bob, how you doing?
Good morning, Kemp. I'm doing great. Trying to stay warm with this crazy cold weather.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Are you in Atlanta now?
I am in Atlanta, and we were 19 degrees this morning.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's cold in Chattanooga as well. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you because there's some interesting things going on the West Coast as related to the slowdown of freight that's coming in and out of the ports in the western United States. We'll get to that in just a minute. Haven't talked to you for a little while, and there's a couple of news items that have happened related to CARE and the effort to minimize the amount of carpet that ends up in the landfill. Why don't you update our listeners on that?
Well, sure, Kemp. Happy to do that. Well, the big one that affects the entire nation is the Voluntary Product Stewardship Program. This is a program that's funded by the industry, and it's designed to provide relief to carpet collector sorters across the U.S. as we try to figure out solutions for the non-nylons, in particular the PET that's in the marketplace today. That program launched January 1st. The collector sorter entrepreneur community across the U.S. seems to be extremely happy with this program. We collected a lot of data from them for the year 2014, and their first reports will be due in April for the first quarter of 2015, and they'll be getting their first checks sometime in the early part of June based on material goods that are sorted and shipped and sold. Mm-hmm. So that's the national program. Probably should point out to your listeners that all sorters in states across the U.S. are eligible to participate in this program as long as they're a member in good standing of CARE, with the exception of any state or municipality that has EPR legislation on the books. In those cases, they are not eligible to participate because it's a separate EPR-driven program for those areas.
And then tell us a little bit about AB 2398.
Yeah, big changes around AB 2398 as well. Of course, I think your listeners know that program officially launched in California in July of 2011, so we've got almost 4 years of experience now. Mm-hmm. We recently submitted a plan change to CalRecycle, which will greatly up the subsidy payments for various elements of the recycle stream, including adding a subsidy for carpet tile reuse and recycle, and the reuse or recycle of calcium carbonate in particular as a raw material as opposed to a stream used for energy recovery. And to cover those increased subsidy payouts, we requested and received approval from CalRecycle that the assessment that consumers pay in California at the point of purchase will go from a nickel to 10 cents per square yard, and that'll all take place effective April 1st. We're in the process of rolling this program out with thousands of California retailers as we speak this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we need to point out that that is a fee paid by the consumer when they buy carpet. And, you know, a typical carpet installation is probably, 20 yards, something like that. So, I mean, it's like $2. I mean, it's going from $1 to $2, so it's not a big deal, is it?
Right. It's a very small increment on the cost of the materials and their installation.
Yeah.
In fact, most people are pretty comfortable with the idea of paying some type of a recycling fee or environmental stewardship fee. We do it today on oil changes, tires, lead acid batteries,
yeah,
the white goods from our homes like refrigerators, washers, and dryers and mm-hmm. such.
But when you aggregate that, it ends up being an annual amount that's in the millions, right?
Well, for what we collect from the consumers, absolutely. Based on sale of carpet in California in 2014, it's about $5 million, and the expectation it'll be about $10 million in 2015 with the increase in the assessment.
All right. So I need to point out that you're having your annual meeting. I believe it's in New Orleans this year, and it's going to be, you know, generally that those meetings, you have manufacturers there that are environmentally focused. You have government officials there that are focused on environmental reduction of waste and landfill, and you have the key part of this whole, what makes it work, is you have the collector sorters there, right?
Collector sorters and the processors. We call that the entrepreneur community. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that meeting will take place on the 13th and 14th of May in New Orleans, as you mentioned. And we came off a great meeting in Seattle in 2014, and we think we've built a really robust and interesting program for 2015 down in New Orleans. So I encourage all of your listeners to to get down there this year as we're tackling all these tough problems and making some progress.
All right. So let's talk about this slowdown on these West Coast ports. Tell us what's going on out there.
Actually, the Pacific Maritime Association, which represents the management of all the ports on the West Coast, and the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, which represents the workers, have been in negotiations since May of last year trying to get these contract issues resolved. You know, a lot of it is driven by what's going on in other parts of the world where they've actually enhanced productivity. It's probably understandable that West Coast ports and the management of those ports, if they're going to remain competitive, they need to make some adjustments, not only for their own business success, but it's vitally important to the U.S. economy as a whole. We've learned that an estimated 40% of all U.S. imports come through the West Coast ports, of which there are about 28 up and down the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego.
And I guess the key issue is that everywhere else in the world, as technology has evolved, they're using fewer and fewer workers to move these containers. The argument is over these unions on the West Coast allowing the reduction in the number of people it takes to move these containers, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's pretty interesting. We don't have time to go into it, but there's a very long history of the negotiations between management and the unions on these docks going all the way back to the days where you used manual labor to move crates.
Mm-hmm.
So things have evolved pretty tremendously over time. It looks like, based on the latest information, that most of the issues have been resolved, but a big issue that's left on the table here is one around arbitration. The current contract says that both parties must agree to dismiss an arbitrator, while the working union really wants the ability to unilaterally do that from either side. Amazing, that seems to be the last sticking point, and I think folks may know that the Secretary of Labor, Thomas Perez, has been out there, and according to the communications director of that International Longshoremen's and Warehouse Union, they're very, very close to an agreement, and I would just say let's hope that the both parties can come together and close this gap, because the pain in the commercial world is getting pretty intense right now.
Yeah, and so, I mean, how does this relate to CARE? I mean, you guys who collect these materials, first off, you have to have containers to put them in. And if there's a tie-up of freight on the West Coast, there's a lack of containers. And then once you load these containers with this recyclable material, a lot of the markets for that are offshore. So that's really kind of bogging you guys down, isn't it?
It is. If you look at the flow of goods out of these ports, scrap and recycled goods are one of the largest, if not the largest, export group going out of the West Coast to Asia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it makes a lot of sense. But unfortunately for the recycling community, if you're bringing in goods and you can't get containers to load those goods and ship them out, you get backed up, your warehouse is full to the rafters, and you've got a logistical problem. But more importantly, you got an ongoing business to run. If you can't ship those containers out, nobody's going to pay you for the goods, and now you got a cash flow problem.
Yeah.
And I'm getting calls daily from our folks on the West Coast that this is exactly what they're running into. So not only can they not get the containers to ship this stuff out, even the drivers don't want to pick up containers and take them to the port, because what used to be an hour or two turnaround time is now an all-day affair. If you've ever seen any of the pictures coming out of the West Coast, it looks like the entrance to the Holland Tunnel on rush hour on a Friday night.
And you've got a place, you go to the Corporate America Recovery Effort website, you've got a place that if somebody wants to write their congressman, they can click and it tells you who to write, correct?
Yeah, it's an automated site. All you do is fill out your name, email, zip code, and the zip code is used to look up who your congressional representatives are,
mm-hmm.
and the site will send a pre-prepared letter, which you can edit if you choose to. I certainly did that, to both your congressional representatives and to the White House, asking that they get this issue resolved.
Well, Bob, it's great to talk to you. Good to catch up with you. And again, look forward to being with you in the middle of May at your meeting in New Orleans. So again, been talking to Dr. Bob Peoples, who's executive director for CARE. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.